This is Wild About Utah.
I was 3 days downriver and hadn't seen a soul since shoving my canoe away from the boat ramp outside of town. The only sounds accompanying my solitude were the white noise of rapid water and the echoes of thoughts pinballing around my mind. That is, until the third morning when, stooped over the small blue roar of my cook stove, I was startled by an unfamiliar sound. It was a dry heave and the snap of a twig to my imagination at first, before I turned on my haunches to face the raven. But when I saw its eyes reflecting my own, set within a Victorian ruffled collar of frosted ebony feathers, the sounds became a gesture, an announcement of the bird's presence. At first it was only the eyes I could track, deep, watery, and of a midnight hue, darker even than the feathery blanket they peered through. I didn't respond quickly enough, I suppose. The raven blinked first, hopped toward the cold charcoal of last night's fire, and scooped a piece into his beak. Not intending to eat it, I'm sure. There was no tilting of the head as to swallow it. And after the first unpalatable bit was cast aside, another was scooped and cast in the same fashion. Then another, 4 or 5 times before I realized what the raven wanted. My oatmeal, of course. As I turned back to the stove, there came the sound again, an erp and a click of the beak. The languages of birds in general are vastly complex and nuanced, and the language of ravens is supreme among them. In the unassuming journal Psychology Today, avian Einstein's blogger and bird author John Marsliff dissects the reasons why. A complex social lifestyle, long lifespan, and songbird brain provide the motive and machinery a raven needs to remain the most eloquent of avian orators, Marsliff explains. The clucks, trills, haws, and quirks common among all ravens are, in and of themselves, amazingly contextual and referential, used in varying sequences and settings to convey different meanings. And according to Marsliff, new, useful, and intriguing noises can be memorized and imitated as near-perfect renditions, to be incorporated into a growing and individual repertoire. This capacity for continued song learning not only makes raven language one of the most complex in the animal kingdom, but it also allows them to engage us humans. My raven had given up scattering charcoal chips across the sand and had taken to watching me spoon oatmeal into my mouth as I stared back at him. Sat atop my cooler, hunched against the cold January wind blowing up the canyon, I must not have been a menacing sight to the raven. Every few seconds it hopped several inches forward toward me and clicked its beak, just as it had done when we first met. Then came the erp again. I would relay this experience several weeks later to a colleague and teacher of avian ecology. "It's a begging behavior," he would tell me. I was starting to figure this out for myself that morning, however late. I could tell the raven was getting frustrated with me, my relative intelligence coming into question within those midnight black eyes. Our eyes kept finding each other. Only then did the erps and clicks stop. I was clearly not the first of its human encounters, but this was the first acquaintance I'd ever formally made with a raven. It was both thrilling and unsettling. I thought of Poe, shuddered, and looked away, back to my breakfast, which was finally getting cold. I didn't look at the raven anymore. He left in disgust, I think, with a parting scoff. I turned at the gesture's remarkable humanity, a familiar motion translated between species, and I swear as he banked into the river bend, he turned his head to glare back at me with those watery midnight eyes.
Wild About Utah is brought to you in part by our listeners and the Moab Area Travel Council, whose support of tourism, events, and recreation in Grand County promotes and protects the natural beauty for visitors from across the state of Utah. Information available online at discovermoab.com.
I'm Josh Bowling, and I'm Wild About Utah.